And good morning. Welcome to It's a New Day here at 1180 WFYL. It is just 5 minutes past the hour on this, the third day of February. Happy Tuesday to everybody out there. Had to make sure I double-checked that it was the third day of February. Wanted to make sure that was clear. Short month. We got a short month. Not a short week, however. So, my name is Andrew Turner, and I'm here with my two co-hosts today. Who are?
Al Locke.
And Susan Locke. Good morning.
Good morning to you both as well. Hope you had a nice drive in this morning. Very chilly this morning. Looks like right now it's 19 degrees, but over the next 3 hours it will head back down to about 15 degrees with some of the wind chills that we have right now. However, Real Feel says it's -1 degrees. So there's a feels like 1 degrees. So, good. It does feel like it's 1 degrees outside. I can say that for sure. Our high today is looking just about 23 degrees. Now, from what I'm told, tomorrow should be a little bit warmer, not too much warmer. And then Wednesday looks like the high is going to be about 41, which is good. But then, you know, take us into the weekend, Thursday and Friday. Looks like the lows are both in single digits then. So we're going to have some cold times this week, and we'll keep you up to date on what that looks like. No precipitation today, though, so that should be good. However, with a lot of the snow that had melted over the weekend, some of the low-lying areas do still have big, large puddles that have now frozen. So I did see some ice on the way in. Keep an eye out for that. Certain roads that you wouldn't expect, like I pulled up the Trooper last night right out here by the Burger King and the Ridge Pike Trooper crossover there, and the whole road on the way up past the Sunoco station was icy, tons of snow on it. It's like, what's going on here?
To keep a lookout.
Well, I was going a little too fast, so I made sure that I stopped way ahead of time and then pulled up to the light about 5 miles an hour or so. Yeah, as long as you know, keep a lookout for it and give yourself plenty of time, as always. Major roads, though, are looking pretty good. So, but I think you're going to see more volume on 76 this morning. Folks that normally take back roads are probably staying off of them,
right?
Because they don't want to run the risk of something like I just said. You know, they turn the corner and they're going 30 miles an hour, and oh, there's a patch of ice. So yeah, that's not too good. But yep, 8 o'clock or 7 o'clock right now, and freezing.
Watch when you're walking too, because
yeah.
We have a little slope out here, and snow on the a little bit higher, and the melting snow ran across the parking lot. So when I went to go home last night, it had frozen, and boy, I almost fell. So just be careful that with this freeze thaw thing, it you know, can get black ice where it wasn't just a couple hours before.
Right. Absolutely. Never good. Never good. Take it from somebody who crashed a car on black ice. It's a terrible feeling being out of control. So, Susan, I think you might have a verse for us this morning.
I do have a verse. Thank you, Andrew. This is Proverbs 9:10, and it says, "Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One results in understanding."
Mm. Very good.
Very good.
What does that mean to you, Al?
Well, it's big to me because I think fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And they took prayer out of the schools, and this has resulted in crime going up, murders going up, unwed mothers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I'm an engineer, so if you go and look at the graphs, a lot of these values have increased 300% since I did that. But if you fear the Lord, if you honor God in the schools, the public schools, the children will realize, the young people, that there is a God, and ultimately you have to answer to Him. And they won't do a lot of the things that are currently being done. So this is, we've lost fear of the Lord, the acknowledgement that God exists, that there'd be a judgment someday. And this has really hurt our society. And I think we should bring back prayer in the schools. 92% of the senators and representatives in Washington profess to be Christians, and we need to basically not enforce Christianity per se, but at least have the public schools acknowledge God and fear God, and a lot of our problems would go away, in my opinion.
I think if you did that, though, you'd have a lot of people arguing for other religions too. So would you support any higher power being prayed to in schools?
Well, I'm not for let me put it in a background way. You know, I'm not for making a person into a Christian or whatever, like some other faiths are. But we had a universal Christian faith in this country for years and years. We've let other faiths treated other faiths with dignity, and I think it wasn't a bad idea to have children pray not just to one specific God or one specific prayer, but whatever their faith was. I don't want to hurt the parents or aggravate the parents, but I think that you know, we ought to be able to work out something where everybody could profess their own faith. Moment of silence. There should be a way to do it and accomplish it without too big a disruption. As I started to say earlier, let's get this straight. We have taken God out of the schools. We've taken him out for a long, long time, and you see the results. You see it on TV. You see it in the movies. You see it in our society. You see the number of rapes, the number of robberies. You know, it isn't working. Americans used to be smart enough to try one thing, and when it didn't work, they'd backtrack or whatever and go back to the old way of doing it. Now it seems like we're on the path to further and further spiraling out of control, and it's hurting our children, it's hurting our society, and we need to, people say, oh, you don't want to do this, that, and the other thing. Well, maybe we do if it helps. It used to be better. They used to say you could walk from one end of Philadelphia to the other and never find a locked door. I mean, people were naturally more honest. It's easier economic times, perhaps. Almost certainly, actually. But, say, we don't want to go back to that. Well, maybe we do want to go back to that. Maybe we do want to have preachers preach from the pulpit about the sanctity of marriage and fear of God, and they need to affect government. They need to, you know, basically set the higher standard. Yes, I think we do need to have a discussion, and I think we need to actually go by the data. When they took prayer out of the schools, one of the senators, I think from West Virginia, he said, this is a big-time mistake. This will be the ruin of America. And it's basically, he's been proven right there.
What about private schools?
Well, private schools, my estimation, freedom of religion in the country. They can preach whatever they want. It is a good idea to have private schools to kind of balance the public schools. You know, people can put their children in private schools and help them become better citizens, go further in life, whatever. But you know, private schools, if they don't teach children to blow themselves up in downtown Philly, you know, I don't have any problem with private schools, you know, within limits. I don't want them to basically say if you don't convert to one religion or another, you should cut off the person's head, like happened in War, Oklahoma. The poor lady at work was confronted by an employee that demanded she convert. When she didn't, he killed her. You shouldn't allow a guy that's instigating the problem should be punished just as much as a guy that actually carried out the assault, in my mind.
Well, thank you for that. I think I was really just seeking to clarify. I think if you bring back mandatory prayer in schools, I think you will see a large private sector bubble. Are charter schools funded by the government? I'm not sure. No. I thought it was like a collective.
No, they're not by and large. Now, somebody passed a law saying that private schools could get transportation for their students to get to and from the private schools. I think that's reasonable. The parents are still paying a lot of money.
They're still paying their taxes. Yeah, sure. They take the kids wherever they want. Yeah, no, I think it's definitely an interesting debate. It's a topic of conversation that we haven't had too much around WFYL. So definitely seeking to clarify there. So, all right, we are just about to head to a break. It is, as I said, the third day of February, 17 minutes past the hour. Happy Tuesday to everybody out there. We've got a wonderful show planned for you. We have a gentleman by the name of, let me see, Galaska from Homeworks. First name,
Dan
Galaska. I wanted to say Greg for some reason. Dan Galaska is going to be with us a little bit later in the show, so definitely stay tuned for that. Stay tuned for the whole program. We'd love you to. And then we'll be right back after this, so stay right there. And welcome back to It's a New Day here at 1180 WFYL, 19 minutes past the hour. Thank you for joining us this morning. Remember, you can listen to us online at 1180WFYL.com, streaming with our TuneIn app. Lots of people are using that these days to listen to things. So that's one way that you can get a hold of the program. Also, you can tune in to your radio dial at 7:30 to 1180 AM, where you can hear us on the radio. So
I would just like to mention we had a message from a listener yesterday in the Pottstown area. She loves to listen to Phil Valentine in the afternoon and wanted to know why he disappeared, just fell off the radio at 5 o'clock every day. And I wrote back and let her know that we're a daytime station, so we're only broadcasting over the air in daylight hours, for those who don't know that, because we're overpowered by Rochester Station after that. So now we're on until 5:30 in the afternoon, and we come on at 7.
Mm-hmm.
But just as Andrew is explaining, you can stream 24/7.
You go online. If you Google WFYL streaming, you'll get a link. I guarantee it. You can also find links on our website. As again, I said, 1180WFYL. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, please drop us an email at info@1180WFYL.com. Or you can give us a call at 610-539-8255. That's 610-539-TALK. All right. Now that we've got the pleasantries out of the way, I wanted to bring up something quickly. Did you see that now North Korea is in the shadow of possibilities of starting their nuclear reactor up again? They've demanded that all not only the men but also women age after graduating from high school, 18 to 23, I believe it is, mandatory military service. So not just men but women as well. Of course, they've got big pictures of happy North Korean women in their uniforms being, ushered off to guard duties and things like that. So, your thoughts?
This reminds me of William Federer's lecture on history that we like to play fairly often here. It's about how dictators rise.
Mm.
Very interesting.
Well, I think universal military service has some pros as well as cons. I know during the Vietnam War, there was a draft and pushback. It was a hard war to fight, and we went to all-volunteer force. But I think young men and perhaps young women, I'm really not, I guess if I just spoke from the heart, I don't think young women should be forced into universal military service. But on the other hand, I think young men should either serve in the military or serve in the Peace Corps or some type of service to the country. I think it helps the young people involved. It helps them understand that this country has given them a lot. A lot of people have sacrificed a lot for the country, and they're expected not only to pay taxes, but to be prepared to defend the country. I think Israel, obviously, has universal military service. I'm not sure if it's men and women. I was over there, but there's a lot of women serving in the military over there. I think it's a deterrent.
Both men and women.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a deterrent for our enemies to know that we have a well-trained population that's capable of defending the country. Switzerland, who hasn't been attacked in the last 1,000 years or so, everybody's in the military up to age, 45 or 50. Everybody has an assault weapon, what we would call an assault weapon, in their home. And they're into self-defense. And obviously they haven't been attacked in such a long time that it's justifiable in my... Now they go do other things. They have whole hospitals built underground. They make a conscious effort to make it hard to occupy Switzerland. And they're known to be ferocious fighters. They live in the mountains, so they work out just walking to get a loaf of bread or whatever. But basically, I'm for universal service.
So compulsory service,
the Constitution.
Compulsory service in Israel, I just looked it up, is 30 months for men and 18 months for women, in accordance with a temporary order signed in 1968. I guess it can be a little bit either way, I'm sure. You could spend a little bit more, a little bit less. So a year and a half, 2 years, 2.5 years.
You said 2 years in the Army here. Or you could volunteer for another service, but it used to be a minimum of 2 years. Had draft numbers and everything. It's obviously volunteers are better soldiers or whatever, but on the other hand, and I'm not taking away from our current military, I just think that exposing our youth to the military would help the military and help the youth, give them a structure, a discipline, see how things, expose them to other people outside their regions, high technology. The military really does some first-class training. I think we've lost something when we went to an all-volunteer force, in my opinion.
South Korea has compulsory military service, too.
They do, yeah. They're the sane ones, though.
Exactly.
I know that in other countries, I had studied abroad in Australia, and I had a couple of friends from like Norway, Sweden, things like that. My friend who was from Norway was two or three years older than me, and he was... it's not compulsory for military service. However, if you want like benefits, then it is compulsory. So, you know, I think he gets pretty decent health care. He also gets school pay for, things like that. Which obviously Norway is a smaller country than the U.S. Less people than even, you know, the UK. So they're able to, you know, provide things like that. You know, you can either you know, be from a family that's well off and, you know, go wherever you want and get school paid for that way. Or, you know, you do 2.5 years military service, you put in the time and you get a full range of benefits for serving, which I think is pretty decent. And, you know, who knows, you might even like what you're doing and stick around for a little bit longer than 2 years. So I could see something like that. But then again, you know, I think it's certainly open for debate. Tell us what you think. You know, head over to 1180WFYL.com, email us at info@1180, and we will keep the discussion open for as long as it takes. I definitely think everybody has an opinion on that. Al, I think your opinion is very, very valid. You know, to have discipline in your life. I just don't know if military service is the way to gain that. I'm sure there might be another way to do it. Who knows? We may even be able to blend two ideas and have something a little bit closer to, you know, what I said for Israel. Maybe 4 years or 2 years, you know, who knows. But anyway, we've got to head to a commercial break. We will be right back. Stay right there. Back to It's a New Day here at 1180 WFYL, 33 minutes past the hour. Thank you for joining us this morning. We have been talking some news stories as well as some hard-hitting topics this morning. But we recently had a member of the White House come and visit Philadelphia. And Al, I think you have a little bit more details on that.
Yes, last Friday, the Democratic House membership convened for a retreat right here in Philadelphia, and Vice President Biden was there, and he spoke. If you go online, you can get his actual speech. He spoke to the Democratic House members and made the statements. The past 6 years have been really, really hard for this country. And the Democrats made decisions that were hard to explain. And that really summarizes what's been going on for the last 6 years. This latest thing with the deserter, Bergdahl, basically in the prisoner swap for 5 high-level terrorists, plus, I believe, $1 million worth of money, is so hard to explain, and the Democrats, of course, are reeling after being defeated in another election. The House is very strongly Republican now, and even the Senate is Republican. So Michelle Obama said to her husband, the president, "Whose side are you on?" And that's a question we all need to ask of the president. And when you start adding up what's happened the last 6 years, you know, from Fast and Furious to Benghazi to, you know, one thing after another, the oil crisis down there off the coast of Louisiana and the Keystone Pipeline, one thing after another. And it just hasn't been a mistake when you go and try and get the emails, like different congressional committees have tried, and the IRS, the basic tapping the AP reporters and everything. The administration treats it like they got something to hide. It's hard to come to any kind of other conclusion. One thing after another, Fast and Furious, IRS, Benghazi, they got something to hide because they're not coming clean. They're not producing everything. And it's so bad that basically Judicial Watch, a private organization, has to file these long, protracted lawsuits to get the information when, if they were really innocent, they would have produced it all. It would have been right there. And basically they said, see, we're innocent. We're doing this in the best interest of the country. But because they haven't, because all these things are still in the courts, they're still not producing, claiming executive privilege, you got to conclude the king has no clothes. I mean, we all are pretending that this guy is a president. He's innocent, honest, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But let's get down to it. 6 years later, things have been really, really hard for the country. And the Democrats, President Obama specifically, has made decisions that were hard to explain, if not impossible to explain. It's almost like, dare I say, we got a Quisling as the President of the United States, Quisling during World War II, the Norwegian Prime Minister basically sold out to the Nazis when the Nazi invasion force came sailing up to Oslo, the capital, to invade. He basically told the forts not to fire and basically disabled the defenses of Norway so the Nazis had a clean sweep, and it will forever be recorded in history that this Quisling did that, and he basically was a traitor to his country. You don't give thousands of weapons away to the cartels. You got to know that they're going to kill Mexican citizens, which is not illegal. It's unlawful. One thing after another. The IRS, it's illegal. It's unlawful. If it were another administration, another president, Nixon certainly was impeached. He resigned right before they removed him, but he did nothing on the scale that the President Obama has done, and now he's granting amnesty to millions and millions of illegal aliens, and it's truly against the Constitution. For 22 times he's been quoted, recorded, saying you can't do that. There's a separation of powers. The Congress would have to approve that. And 22 times he said it, and then he goes ahead and does it anyway. I mean, come on. This is like the president has no clothes. He's doing something that's illegal against the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. And we need to stand up and basically demand that our Congress do something about this. And we're not even hearing a lot of the things that are going on because, like the security at the Democratic meeting on Friday, they had the staffers go to the bathroom with reporters and whatnot to make sure they didn't get in conversation with any of the individual Democratic congressmen or whatever the reason. So the most quoting George Orwell, the most powerful form of lie is the omission. So we're not hearing all the truth because they're intimidating the AP. They were tapping the phones and everything. And it's in direct, it's directly against what Jesus said, the truth shall make you free. If we know the truth, if the American people know the truth, then they'll act on it. Then they'll do what's right. And basically, President Obama has some explaining to do, and they ought to have an impeachment hearing and give him his chance to explain himself. But as President or Vice President Biden said, it's really, really hard, past 6 years to explain some of these things. And we can go down the line from the Keystone Pipeline to shutting down all oil production off Louisiana when BP had that spill. Yeah, they should have shut down BP. They shouldn't have shut down all oil production. That's, one thing after another. If you tabulate it, it's been a hard 6 years.
Definitely has been. Hopefully, we always look for hope on the horizon. There's lots of reasons why folks are not, not doing so hot right now. Lots of reasons. Hopefully, you don't live in Southern California, because they're having a tough time with measles right now. All right, there's all kinds of things that people are getting into. But that does bring up another good point too about the measles outbreak. A couple of GOP frontrunners got in trouble for their putting their foot in their mouth. I think it was Governor Chris Christie and Rand Paul mentioning that they you know, they supported parents having decisions over whether their kids get vaccinated or not, which I think out of context, they took it as, you know, that they're, they support not being vaccinated for measles, which is on the hot topic for discussion right now. I think one of the things that they say that if the kids out in California had been, you know, had been vaccinated for measles, that something, you know, they wouldn't be having the problem that they are having. But I don't know. What topic that we talked about previously on the show a number of times with measles and vaccines and things like that is that a lot of folks, I think, believe that there's all kinds of chemicals in vaccines that for used for preservation techniques like mercury and all kinds of other stuff. Certainly ask what's in it. I wouldn't want to put something in my body that I didn't know what it was. But as far as the mercury goes, believe it or not, the Bush administration, early 2000s, one of their missions was to make sure that all vaccines were that were safe. I think if you remember, there was a big flu vaccine, a flu shot shortage in the early 2000s. The company that had made them was a British company and hadn't made enough of their vaccine or their you know, their flu shots and everything like that. And basically, what happened was is that they you know, the result was that many people were unable to get flu shots. Which brought up a whole debate on what's really in them, you know, what's this, what's that, which I think maybe started causing people to rethink getting their children vaccinated. But
well, you're on the subject, Andrew, of flu shots and everything. The flu this year has been especially deadly, and a lot of children are dying, actually dying. Older people are dying also. I think you have a relative here in Norristown area that recently died. He had the flu and...
Flu symptoms kill about 23,000 people per year. I think a lot of folks get lumped into the that statistic based on age, based on other conditions. You know, flu-like symptoms, you know, certainly have to be tested. And you know, come up with some kind of virus that you get, but it is particularly nasty. There's lots of different ways that you can protect yourself against the flu. Washing your hands being probably the number one. You know, if you're you know, you're my age and you're healthy, I don't think you have anything to worry about. But it's not those people that are typically dying from the flu. It is folks that are 55 and over or under 10. So, or even under 6, I would say, is probably more likely to be harmed by the flu. So, certainly keep an eye out for that. If you got young kids in your house, maybe think about getting a flu shot. But, you know, I don't do flu shots. I'm a big proponent of that's what my immune system is for. Hey, we have to head to a commercial break. We would love to keep talking, but we'll do that in just a minute. So stay right there. We'll be right back. We are back here at 1180 WFYL, 48, almost 49 minutes past the hour. Happy Tuesday to everybody out there. Thank you for listening this morning. We were just talking, we had a variety of topics last segment, talking about vaccines. We also talked a little bit about Joe Biden visiting Philadelphia and making some remarks. Actually, my mom was on the tarmac in Philly when the Air Force One landed. So she was wondering, she was like, the president just landed in Philly. And I was thinking to myself, I don't think the president's coming to Philadelphia. I'm pretty sure he might be overseas at the moment. So that was, the vice president in Philadelphia. But Al, did you have anything else you wanted to mention this morning?
I guess following up with what I said earlier about Vice President Biden saying, and by the way, a lot of people disparage the vice president because of the gaffes he makes, supposedly. After analyzing from my point of view, and perhaps it's because his family's Pennsylvania and I'm from Pennsylvania, I find it refreshing that the vice president tells the truth. Now, in Washington, everything is spun and covered up and lied about. But he comes right out and says the obvious, and people are down on him for that. I think it's a good trait myself. So I commend the vice president for saying the truth. We need more people like him. In fact, we need more Democrats to stand up and demand the best for the country. And when President Nixon was in the Oval Office, it wasn't till the Republicans visited the Oval Office and basically told him that it was time to leave. And courageous Democrats, like Senator Sam Ervin, had already laid out the case, and the Republicans were honest enough to basically give their advice to President Nixon that they were going to vote him out and impeach him if he didn't resign, and that's what he did. So it's very, very encouraging to see the Democrats actually coming together and acknowledging that we got a problem. And to tell you how severe the problem is, and I almost hate to upset our listeners, but the truth has to be said. You have to know the truth. And this is from a lawyer, head of Judicial Watch, and he says, basically, this is a recent letter from him. As you well know, our work together is more important than ever. I contribute to Judicial Watch occasionally. The Obama federal government is out of control, and we're in the midst of a constitutional crisis in Washington, the likes of which we've not seen in generations. The Obama federal government is out of control, and we're in the midst of a constitutional crisis in Washington, the likes of which we haven't seen in generations. Now, he's active in filing all these lawsuits. His $25 million budget, individual Americans are given to his organization to basically try and get the emails that the president should have provided without going to court. If he didn't have anything to hide, he would have provided them right away. Beyond that, another opinion, and this organization represents a significant part of the American population. They stand behind the National Rifle Association, and they're on their front cover of America's First Freedom this month. The ruin Obama might leave behind, and the second, or the bigger statement is: are you prepared for the 700 most dangerous days America's ever faced? And this is all about President Obama. This is like, and thank God for an honest vice president. They ought to put him up as presidential nominee for the Democrats, in my opinion, and basically in general election, depending who they run, I might vote for him, because we need an honest man as president, depending who the Republicans put up. But anyway, this is
who said he said it? I haven't heard anything about it. This was news to me today. So who's?
I got a picture of it actually here in my cell phone. Let's see if I can identify the source.
I just don't know who. You know, when we report stories to you, we want to make sure we tell you who is saying what. You know, we're going to let you decide what, you know, what you want to believe. We'll just here to lay it out for you. So
right, it looks like Drudge from it has a picture of the Vice President Biden, and it says past 6 years have been really, really hard for this country. And then underlined, Democrats made decisions that were hard to explain. You want to see it, Andrew, here?
No, I believe you on Drudge. Drudge does those big headlines at the top. They'll do, you know, and then it usually links to something, so I didn't know if we had that. But Yeah, no, thank you for clarifying your statements, Al.
Right, it's actually, if you clicked on that, it was a video of him saying that.
Right,
in front
okay.
of the whole audience. And you can imagine if you've just lost some of your friends in the House, they've been replaced by Republicans, you'd want some answers. You'd want to know what kind of changes are going to be made to basically prevent the Democrats from having more and more problems. And, you know, and it's to their... That's the way Americans approach things. It's good that the American public and the American congressmen analyze their past performance and want to improve. You know, what are they going to do to make sure this kind of disaster doesn't befall them in 2016? What kind of changes are they going to make? So yeah, this is standard operating procedure in any well-run organization. It's just that... sometimes getting into it, it seems like the president is he doubles down. He does one thing after another that's hard to defend. Like the vice president says, it's like, how come the rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer? You know, come on, explain that to us. And how come you're letting illegal aliens in and your attorney general nominee is saying everybody should have a job? We don't have enough jobs right now. I mean, explain this to us. We want to know what your reasoning is. And I think the president did try to explain. He thinks that something to the extent that we're citizens of the world and we should let more and more illegal aliens in because, you know, we're all citizens of the same, you know, he's basically negating the traditional view of the United States as a sovereign country with sovereign borders and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And him being from, he lived overseas in Indonesia, he came over, he's on record saying at Occidental College, and I think it was Harvard, that he actually claimed to be a citizen of another country to get better scholarships. I mean, he actually is on record as saying he's not a U.S. citizen. So, and this opens a whole nother discussion where there's a whole lot of people that think that he's not a natural-born American citizen, and he's claimed to be a citizen of another country already. And, you know, if you go over there to Kenya, a lot of the people over there actually claim that he was born in Kenya, you know, the hospital records and everything. So things, this would explain his viewpoint on illegal aliens, but it's, you know, when you don't have enough jobs, when you, when they let young people in to the country, and basically they spend $1,000 a day on each one of them to get their health up to snuff, to teach them English, to, you know, provide housing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, to fly them to New York State and where all the states. It's like, what in the world? How can you justify that? How, like Vice President Biden says, we made some really decisions that are hard to justify. Let's get it straight too. If we let the current people who are coming across the border here, and we treat them with such respect, that's going to encourage everybody else to come here.
And I think we shouldn't
be overwhelmed.
Just shelve this for just a second. We're going to come back after a commercial break. I believe we do have an interview coming up, but we'll hit on this topic just after that. So stay right there for more It's a New Day, right up after this.